We are Screams and Queens, a podcast for all lovers of horror movies, novels, and true stories. Your hosts are Bree, the book nerd, Megan, the horror expert, and Jenna, our token scaredy cat. We choose movies with a counterpart to compare it to, including classic versus modern movies, based on true story movies, and movies adapted from novels. Each week, we'll watch a horror movie and then talk about what scared us the most. Or should we say, what scared Jenna the most? And then we'll delve into the psychology behind our fears. We are Screams and Queens. Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our very first Screams and Queens episode. I am your co-host, Bree.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Megan. I have a fashion merchandising degree, but we actually all met at Orange Theory Fitness in Canton. I was a sales associate, Bree was coaching, and Jenna was also a sales associate, soon to be coach. But we became fast friends, and Bree and I shared a mutual interest in the horror genre. Films, books, TV shows, anything. We just thought it was really interesting to get together and talk about it.
Yeah, so we decided to start a podcast because Megan and I share that similar interest in horror movies, and Jenna hates horror movies.
Hates them a lot. a lot.
And I have an MFA in creative writing, so I wanted to incorporate that with whatever we were doing. So anyway, for our very first episode, like I said, we watched the movie Jaws, and I read Peter Benchley's novel Jaws that not only inspired this enormous monster movie franchise, but also created a deeper understanding of sharks themselves. And it just so happens that we are filming this during Shark Week.
It's the last day of Shark Week. Last day, best day.
So basically how the podcast is going to work, we're going to give just a brief movie summary, and then we'll go over some fun facts, and then we'll kind of go over the structure of the movie itself using the Freytag Pyramid, and then some kind of what scared us, what didn't scare us, specifically what scared our scaredy cat, Jenna. And then lastly, we'll do kind of a fun game called What Would Your Strategy Be? So we will start off with just a brief movie summary, and I'm sure everyone has seen the movie, but if you haven't, where have you been for the last, 40 years, Megan? Because this is the first time, well, it's the first time Jenna watched this movie, right?
Bits and pieces I've seen before, but I haven't seen the whole thing in whole together, so.
Okay. So, very brief summary. The movie Jaws follows Police Chief Martin Brody in his struggles to capture a monstrous shark wreaking havoc on Amity Island. And that's pretty much all we need to know, right? Okay, so it's 2 hours of basically that. So, anyway.
No sharks. It's 2 hours of Amity Frickin' Island, which we looked up. It's fictional. I thought it was real. It's fictional. It's off the coast of New England, if it were to be real.
Okay, so we're going to start off with just a few fun facts. So the movie was made in 1975. It's based off of Peter Benchley's novel Jaws. It was actually directed by a young 26-year-old Steven Spielberg.
That's young.
He was 26 at the time?
He was 26.
I didn't know that. He was probably hot.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg hit us up.
I know that.
Yeah, call Jenna. Her number is. No. So, yeah, a lot of the plot points in Benchley's novel were taken out of the movie just because they thought it was distracting from the shark itself, which you don't see until an hour and 20 minutes into the movie. But anyway. The shark itself was a mechanical shark. It was 25 feet long and was nicknamed Bruce after Spielberg's lawyer, or as Spielberg himself liked to call him, the Great White Turd, after all the issues I get a lot of this information from CNN.com, so very reliable information. We talked a lot when we were watching about John Williams, the composer, who also did, what did we say?
Harry Potter, Star Wars, E.T., Superman. John Williams is lit.
Yeah. So you can...
Great composer.
Yeah. So you can really see... you can hear just everything that he does. And, like, I kept thinking in the whole score of the movie, I was like, this is literally Star Wars. So it was pretty cool. But anyway, so he created the iconic score that's in the movie, and which apparently Spielberg hated at first. And in 1976, he won an Oscar for it. There are three, I guess, sequels. I don't know if you call them that, but Jaws 2, Jaws 3D, and Jaws the Revenge. Jaws 2 being the only one that is good. I've watched all of them. Just watched Jaws 1 and 2.
Did you watch 3D with the 3D glasses?
No.
Well, that's probably why you didn't like it.
Yeah, but you can tell when it's 3D because they try to throw everything at the camera.
Yeah, but you don't, like... go to PetSmart without owning a dog.
I go to PetSmart without owning a dog. I adopted my cat from PetSmart without even having a dog.
All I'm saying is next week we're going to watch it with the 3D glasses. Okay. Change your mind.
Next week, Jaws 3D. 3D glasses. Okay, so, and then lastly about fun facts. So I wanted to ask you guys also about any personal experiences you had with sharks. Not that, like, you've been bit by a shark, but if you have, then, like, tell me about it. But, like, I grew up swimming and with a swimming pool, and I saw this movie when I was really little. So I was terrified just to get into my swimming pool after this movie. Which is crazy, because, like, why would there be sharks in a pool?
But you never know.
You never know.
And that's the thing.
And that's the thing.
Yeah. Megan?
I have never been bit by a shark. But, I mean, we were just in Florida, and the second week we were going down to the beach from the condo, these other older ladies from our condo are like, oh my god, yesterday these guys were like, we saw two hammerhead sharks here.
No way.
And we're like, maybe we shouldn't go in the ocean again. But then when we went to another pier, they said that they saw bonnethead sharks, which are similar looking to hammerhead, and they are not dangerous at all. They're like 3 feet long. They're kind of cute.
I love Shark Week. I've never seen a shark in person. But I just know that I would love them. They're so cool. And watching Jaws today, I just want to go out and catch some sharks. Tarpon. I love tarpon. If you don't know what tarpon is, that's a different story. But it's not similar
to a
shark.
Don't know what tarpon is.
Okay, well, it's this fish on the south coast of Florida that you can fish for only 160 days out of the year.
Oh.
Sponsored.
That's another podcast we'll do.
Anyway,
on tarpon.
If you want to look that up, just type in tarpon. There's a bunch of stuff. But anyways, yeah, love them. Love them.
Okay, so we'll move into, I guess, the actual structure of the film using the Freytag Pyramid. So I went to school for English and got my master's in creative writing, so I was big on the Freytag Pyramid, which is basically just the pyramid, the very standard beginning, rise, crisis, climax, and then realization. So, yeah, the pyramid. So Megan did you didn't see her, but she did a slope with her hands. So anyway, so the beginning of Jaws, the backstory showing the female in the ocean getting eaten, the catalyst, an aggressive great white attacking the beach, forcing the main character, Martin Brody, to react. The rise is more shark attacks. the crisis is the protagonist, Martin Brody, believing he can't kill the shark. And then, lastly, the final hunt of the shark and the kill. So, just after watching the movie, do we believe it follows the typical pattern? Yes.
Well, yeah, I guess, but you don't see the shark.
Yeah, you don't, that's the thing is that,
It's like a monster movie, and you just see dead bodies everywhere, but you don't see what's killing them. It's a little anticlimactic, in my opinion.
But that's almost what's beautiful about it, is that you don't see the monster. Do you always have to see the monster?
I don't know, because I think that's what builds up the most suspense.
Says the one who doesn't watch scary movies.
For example, at the end, we're going to jump ahead here a little bit.
Spoilers!
At the end, when... Man, what was happening? Oh, Hooper's in the cage, man, okay? He's waiting for Bruce to come. Big old Brucey, here he comes. But you can't hear him in that instrumental music that's playing in the background.
Shout out John Williams.
Yeah, it quits playing. And so you don't know what's going to happen. You just sit there in silence with your own thoughts, and you think, well, if I were Hooper, what would I do?
No, that's what's kind of the beautiful part of it. I mean, not to sound, like, weird, but that's, you know, a lot of the movies nowadays, you young kids, but they rely so much on, like, the build-up music and the jump scares, like a factory of jump scares, whereas... Jaws isn't that. Like, it's a very, we were talking during the movie, it's a very slow build, and you have that kind of artistic value of the way it's a slow reveal, and you have this character building, and I don't know, I guess my personal opinion is I would have to give credit a lot to that, to the novel, of kind of that slow building of the characters. Megan, what do you think?
This was my first time watching this film, and I didn't get into scary movies until I was in high school. My parents are not into scary movies. I don't have any older siblings, so I had no one to get me into the genre for the nostalgia factor. Like, my parents were into sci-fi. I didn't even watch Star Wars until, like, last year. So, like, this stuff is all new to me as far as the older films go. So this is my first time watching the film, and... there are parts that I liked about it. I'm not into super CGI, although, I don't know, sometimes it's incredibly obvious. So I love the original special effects or prosthetics and makeup and things like that. I was a little too slow building for my personal opinion. I do agree that jump scares are too common in scary movies these days, and people are too reliant on them instead of, like, building a great story or having great great writing or great monsters. But I liked it. I didn't think it was scary. But
you didn't think it was scary?
I did not. I'm sorry, Jenna.
Not even the littlest tiny scene.
Not even that one guy that was dead that Jenna screamed at.
Dead body in real life, so that's
what?
Like a
when?
That's,
whoa.
Scary, a story for another time, but I'm pretty desensitized to bodies, and I don't think that was scary at all. No.
Okay, well, will this scare you? Let me, so kind of, so I'm going to skip a little bit into the novel. Okay, are you all ready?
I just have to say this. So yeah. He was 26 when he made this.
Steven
that's
Spielberg,
so young.
He directed
this. Was
this
his first movie?
No.
What was?
I don't remember, but yes, this was like his second one. Sorry, Steven Spielberg, if I'm wrong.
Can you imagine?
As if he's listening.
Can you imagine being 26 and directing this?
No, and apparently he thought he was going to get fired like every day because
really?
He was 26.
He felt too young.
So young.
Yeah. Or I don't know. I don't exactly know the details, but yeah. So
you think he'd come on our podcast?
Hell yeah, are you kidding?
Stevie.
He called me today.
Stevie, if you're out there, I know a place.
Stevie, what are you wearing? Okay, so anyway, we digress. Let's talk a little bit about the novel differences. So I want to talk a little bit about the plot points that were taken out of the novel that I think were a very kind of integral part of it that we didn't see in the movie because they thought it distracted from the shark itself. So, can you believe that in the novel there was a spoiler for the novel if you're reading it, an affair between Ellen and Hooper. So Ellen,
whoa,
the wife of,
whoa,
Chief Brody, and Hooper.
I knew it!
Yeah!
I freaking knew it! No, when they were having dinner.
Yeah. She's flirting.
I didn't say anything because I didn't want to... I didn't want to voice my opinion.
But Hooper is a snack.
Okay.
So.
Okay, wait. Hold on. Yeah. So Hooper, let me just pull up. So Hooper, Megan described his outfit was either hipster rapist or photographer.
I could see a mix of both, for sure.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it was the 70s, so he could either be, like, a creeper stalker or, like, a fine piece of ass.
Wait.
Yeah, so he was cute.
In the novel, they hooked up?
Yeah, they had sexual intercourse. Yeah.
I fucking knew it. Ellen.
Yeah.
Ellen or Helen?
Ellen. I thought it was Helen. It's Ellen.
Ellen!
So, yeah, Ellen and Hooper hooked up, and they had a whole dinner party where they invited other people, and it was just this whole big affair. And, yeah, so they hooked up, and then there's a whole, like, kind of controversy between Chief Brody and Hooper when they get on the boat, because Chief Brody's like, you slept with my wife. Like, he didn't say that, but in his head he said that. And Hooper's like, I did. Hell yeah, I did. Like, so,
it was awesome.
Yeah. So it was just this whole thing. And then also, we talked a little bit about this when we were watching the movie, but in the novel, it goes a little bit deeper into the mayor, why he didn't want the beaches to be closed, and kind of talking about that he was losing money. It was a 4th of July weekend. It was his big kind of fest or whatever for this island. And in the novel, it's not super described, but it is basically implied that the mayor is involved with the mafia. And the mafia, he owes the mafia a lot of money, and the mafia basically is controlling this island, and it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars or something crazy that he owes them. So
that's why he needs the money.
And he doesn't want to shut down the island.
They did mention they were by New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey. I can't do the accent. New Jersey. Yeah, there we go.
So he doesn't give a rat's ass if these people are dying or not, because he wants...
They're not going to be swimming with the fishes
anyway. Yeah.
Ayo! Yeah, so basically, I guess and also reminded us kind of just like of everything that's going on right now with the virus and how they're trying to open up everything and how money is being set as a priority versus lives. And so it kind of made us think of, like, man, Jaws is ahead of its time.
Yeah.
In this. So that's pretty crazy.
Did it age well or did it not age well? That's the question.
That's a good question. Megan?
I mean, I miss swimming at the beach with others.
Do you, though?
I will say that, when we were watching the movie, when the whole scene of people basically shoulder to shoulder at the beach, we were like kind of had a little bit of anxiety. Like, why are those people so close? Why are they not wearing masks? I mean, it was, so I would say, I mean, it kind of aged well, but in this time in 2020, no, because
when you were there the other week, like what was it like that? Or were there no one?
Oh, not at all. There were people that were wearing masks running on the beach.
On the beach.
Yeah. I mean, people kept their distance.
Did they wear them
in the ocean? There were elderly people that would walk on the beach and, like, wear, like, not the masks, but the little wrappy things that, like...
Like a sun protector or something.
Yeah, something like that, covering their faces. My husband would hold his breath walking by people. He would walk with
Does
me.
That count?
Because he wouldn't go.
Is that science?
I mean, it wasn't super busy. It was
scientists
busy.
Call us. Does that work? Can we all solve this problem by holding our breaths?
Just don't breathe.
Breathe, everybody. Yeah, so I think, like, in terms of, I mean, it was the 70s, it was 75, so it's hard to say, like, yes, this aged well, because, I mean, in the novel, Ellen has a job, and she's a working nurse. In the movie, you don't really see her as a
just bad parenting.
Female. Yeah, you just see this, like, kind of negligent parenting happening. But
and flirting with Hooper.
Yeah, this cute Hooper that's a hipster rapist photographer. We don't know what he is.
Slash
but...
oceanographist.
Yeah, he studies sharks. Yeah, we don't know what he is, but basically, no, that's a good question, Jenna. I would think in 2020, no. Just because I don't know, yes and no, because no, because it's so crowded, but also yes, because we're going literally through the same thing, minus the shark. Like, the shark right now is COVID.
COVID is shark.
Oh my God.
There's definitely some symmetry, you know? Yeah. It's comparable with impending doom, things that could cause death, and then people prioritizing the economical benefits over people's lives, potentially. It's definitely similar.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I know. Oof, right? So, yeah. So, basically, that's that. And then I also want to talk about a little bit about back to the novel. In the movie, the shark itself is portrayed a lot as the shark. Whereas in the book, I don't know if there's any point that actually says shark. Like, there might be a couple points, but most of it just says fish. So let me see a point. So let me read you guys a quote. If you're following along in your novel, you book nerds, you nerds, on page number 10 at the bottom, it says, quote, 100 yards offshore, the fish sensed a change in the sea's rhythm. It did not see the woman, nor yet did it smell her. Running within the length of its body were a series of thin canals filled with mucus and dotted with nerve endings, and those nerves detected vibrations and signaled the brain. The fish turned toward shore. So, unquote.
So you're telling me this could be a giant fucking piranha?
It could literally be any...
It's a goldfish.
It is Nemo. Nemo is Jaws. You're...
I feel lied to. My life is a lie.
Yeah. Well, okay, so there, it does mention, like, a shark, and on the cover you can see there's a
shark.
Okay,
but is this cover from post-movie?
Yeah, exactly.
You know how
maybe.
They do that.
Yeah.
Stevie, no, here's what Stevie did. He read the book and he said, you know what, bitches? I'm changing this.
This ain't no anglerfish.
No, he said, yeah.
It's not an eel.
This ain't no scallus. What's that fucking word?
We're not puffing today. This is no puffer.
This ain't no puffer fish.
And this is a great one.
This bitch.
He just... Damn.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I guess I did not have that same view as you guys when I was reading. But that's an interesting point. But no, it does say shark in the novel somewhere. I just didn't mark it. So, no, sorry, Peter Benchley. But I think he's dead. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, so... no, what I did find interesting, though, is that they, it really just kind of highlights the animalistic... characteristics of the fish, the shark, whatever you want to call it, and did not vilify it. Like, it was like, this is a fish, this is what it does, this is natural. Like, it wasn't like, there is a human, let me go eat her. No. It was just like, this is what's natural
this is,
for me.
There's something in the water.
You're in my territory.
I'm hungry,
yeah.
I'm gonna eat you. Wow.
So, it's almost kind of like this environmental... commentary, I guess you could say, in the novel. And kind of on that note, to read another quote, this is more in the introduction that Peter Benchley wrote, but so let me figure out when I want to start. So I'll start on page number 3 in the introduction. This is Peter Benchley talking. It would be years before I would learn the biological and behavioral truths about sharks in general and great whites in particular. I learned them slowly, firsthand, often in company with scientists or fishermen or divers, and each discovery was fascinating, albeit humbling. So, and then he goes on to say, I'll read this really quickly. One of the first lessons I learned was that sharks not only don't seek out and attack human beings, they avoid humans whenever possible. We are, after all, large, noisy, ugly aliens that, for all a shark knows, may pose mortal danger and bite them very rarely. So,
okay.
Basically, that was kind of a long excerpt that I read. But
conspiracy. The fact that it mentioned aliens all this time, we're thinking aliens are these little green things in space. What if aliens are just... sea creatures.
What if they're us?
We are the aliens.
We are the aliens of the sharks.
To the sea creatures.
Yeah.
Because they were here first. Right?
Allegedly.
I mean,
like, scientifically,
no one knows,
I guess.
But I
yeah.
would say so.
But I mean, like, you get mad if, like, there's a spider or a rat in your house. We're it's all like, up in a shark's business. That's where they live.
I saw a meme.
Why are we vilifying them?
Well, I guess I read a meme. But you know how you find, like, spare change around your house? That's just the insects paying rent. Isn't that funny?
Do they have jobs? Like, what kind of jobs would an ant have?
Paying you rent, man. No, wow, that's crazy that it mentions aliens, because, I mean, yeah, that is maybe not by definition, because I don't know what the exact definition of an alien is, but if we're getting, like, very technical, an alien doesn't have to have one eye and two antennas. Antennae. What would it be? It could just be a strange creature.
Yeah.
I digress.
No, I agree. I think, like the food chain, we think on land, I mean, not even on land, like, in general, we just think we're on the top, but you put us in a situation, something like Jaws, you put us in the middle of the ocean, we're not on the top of the food chain.
No.
We are very much on the bottom of the food chain. Like, put us in the middle of the ocean, put you in the middle of Africa, you go and die. Like,
you're like dead.
Like, you can't take a lion. You're like, dead. Punch a lion in the face. I dare you. Like, go ahead.
I mean, well, okay, so we're going to talk about how to put a shark to sleep, because I don't know why they didn't try this.
Okay.
Okay, so according to Shark Week, I don't know if this is just for a female shark or for a male shark as well, but if you're in the ocean and you do need to do this, you just, okay, so you punch it in its snout, now a soft tap, and then you gently rub the snout while simultaneously rubbing the underbelly. So if you could see me right now, my left hand is tickling the so-called snout, and my right hand is rubbing the underbelly. So if you need to practice this at home, I would tap your head while rubbing your stomach clockwise. You know what you used to practice in elementary school? And you should be good to put a shark to sleep. But I watched Mike Tyson did it, and he did it like that, okay?
What's Mike Tyson? I mean,
it's like fight or flight, you're not going to become a shark masseuse. Like,
yeah,
a shark masseuse.
No, Megan, you're exactly right, because when the situation comes, you're probably not going to know.
Well, it's not just fight or flight. It's fight or flight or freeze, and I'm probably on the freeze end of the spectrum. So
like,
I would just die.
Freezing up and not knowing what to do.
I would die. I'd be like, oh, it's a shark and I'm dead. I wouldn't think to massage its underbelly.
Yeah. Will you turn over, Mr. Shark? I want to massage. Jenna told me to tickle your snout.
Hey, don't knock it till you try it, okay?
That is right. Okay, so we'll talk a little bit going forward. So we went over the novel a little bit briefly. Let's talk a little bit about what scared us the most and what scared Jenna the most. I think we all, well, not all, but all of us in this room, thanks COVID, that scared Jenna the most, and I think it was the part that she screamed at the top of her lungs at when that dead guy floated out of the boat.
Yeah, because that was scary. If you don't think it's scary, I don't trust you.
I was scared of Jenna screaming. That's tough.
Yeah, that was scary.
Okay,
in the movie.
But did you see the dude on the TV?
Yeah.
Like, when it happened?
It was a dead body.
He came out of nowhere!
We've all seen dead bodies, okay, Jenna?
He came
get
out
over
of nowhere
it.
And he was decayed. And I thought, what did I think? No, because he pulled the triangular white shape out of the submarine, whatever flotation device it was. I couldn't tell if that was the shark's dorsal fin being cut off or if it was a shark tooth. And then out of nowhere, this dead guy comes out of the left side and you just see his face and a dead person's face. I don't know if you guys have seen The Outer Banks on Netflix.
That show is so good.
Well, listen, I only watched like one episode. John B. Okay, I kind of like JJ.
JJ
more.
He's
more.
Yeah.
I'm into him. But yeah, so on that first episode, I couldn't watch it after because you know where they find the boat in the bay or whatever, the shipwreck, and then there's that dude floating and he's dead. Well, that's exactly what this guy looked like.
Oh, the lady that lost her husband.
Yeah, he just came out of nowhere, like, It scared me. It scared me.
So let me ask you this. Was it the jump scare that scared you, or was it the idea of the dead body that scared you?
Oh, no, it was the jump scare.
Yeah, I mean... Fuck dead bodies. We don't care about them.
This is going to be so much fun watching scary movies with Jenna.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I hate them.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to watch a factory of jump scares movie.
I'm going to retire.
Insidious or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
No,
the Conjuring series.
I'm more afraid of... Okay, so rivers. Rivers have been a thing this summer for me. I don't know why. Probably because of COVID. I haven't gone
to the
beach or anything.
Rivers, like an actual river body of water?
Yeah, like Ohio River and also the New River. I've been to both of those. And I feel like there are probably so many dead bodies in a river.
I think about that all the time.
Right.
My parents' neighborhood has a pond in it. And I'm I wonder if people have bodies in there.
Or the Hudson River. Think about that.
If they
drain
them,
the
how many bodies are there?
Right?
So, I'm surprised that I'm not the only one that thinks about that.
No, for real, because if I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but if I were, not saying I would, but...
FBI, please don't go out there.
NSA, if you're listening.
I mean, it's not anything I would ever do, but I'm just saying that's... I mean, rivers, yeah. Think about the white water on that shit. It gets sucked down. There was a deer carcass in this white water for 2 weeks. It's called the Teacher's Pet on the New River Gorge in West Virginia.
They named it?
Yeah, they could not get that deer carcass out. It just kept on getting swelled and swelled and swelled until it started to decay, then drift away.
Deer are really dumb, though. There's a subreddit on Reddit called, Deer Fucking Stupid. And I follow it because I love deer and they're really dumb.
I love deer.
They're
called deer.
They're so cute. They're like dogs, but
dumb.
More dumb.
Dumb dogs.
And scared of everything.
Okay, so the jump scare scared you.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about why Jaws scares us all. Okay, so I got a lot of this information from NationalGeographic.com. So the fear of sharks, I'm going to probably pronounce this incorrectly, maybe not, we'll see, is called galophobia.
Ooh.
Is the fear of sharks. And in NationalGeographic.com, it's quoted from, I'm going to butcher this name as well, Ropik. I believe he has a novel called How Tales of Shark Attacks Shaped a U.S. Warship's Legacy. He says, quote, "We're terrified of how sharks could kill us. Being eaten alive by a 15-foot-long tiger shark seems like a painful way to suffer through death." No shit. And we dread the possibility that a shark could attack. A shark attack could be the thing that kills us, unquote. So the obvious, yeah. Anyway, so also this is what I found interesting. Fear is inherited from our ancestors, and my take...
No way.
Yeah.
No way. All
so,
fear that...
That's
sorry,
why you're like,
on.
Oh my god, that's a fucking scary snake. It's because snakes can kill you, and it's integrated into our DNA to be fearful of things that can kill us, to deter us from being dumbasses and getting
killed.
Yeah,
it's like evolution, basically. Yeah. So it is evolution. So my theory on it is that they had crazy... animals to deal with, like snakes and woolly mammoths. Like, can you imagine, like, a woolly mammoth, like,
charging
you? Yeah. With, like, little to no protection. I mean, I don't know if they had what they had.
Just a club.
Like, a club, yeah, like a little baseball bat, like, and, yeah, like, think of the cavemen. So, and Megan, what were you gonna say?
Oh, about my fear of the movie?
Yeah.
So, mine isn't the sharks itself. It's of the open water and the fear that something can get you. Whether it's a shark, or a stingray, or a fucking chulu.
The fuck's a chulu?
It's chulu, right? That's how you pronounce it?
I don't know. What is that?
I don't know.
From Lovecraft? How do you pronounce that? Chulu?
I don't know. Lovecraft. H.P. Lovecraft?
With a release the Kraken. It's like a Kraken-like...
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I should know that.
But it's thalassophobia. It's the fear of open water. The fear that there's something underneath.
Wow.
Whether it's the Kraken or Chulu, what, if that's how you pronounce it. I'm so sorry for horror Lovecraftian lovers. Yeah, whatever. Whether it's sharks, anything of that nature. It's the fear that there's something underneath, something that's alien. You know, it's almost like space. You don't know what's down there. It's not familiar to you. That's what freaks me out. A shark itself, it's like, oh, it's a fish. But, like, the fact that there could be this endless, you know, whatever, undiscovered shit beneath you, that's what freaks me out.
Yeah, no, for sure. And actually, on that note, let me read a quote from Benchley's novel on page 57, you nerds following along. So kind of going off the fear of what's below us. 50 yards farther out, the ocean floor dropped precipitously, not with the sheerness of a canyon wall, but from a slope of perhaps 10 degrees to more than 45 degrees. The water was 15 feet deep where the slope began to change. Soon it was 25, then 40, then 50 feet deep. It leveled off at 100 feet for about half a mile, then rose in a shoal that neared the surface a mile from shore. Unquote. Ugh. like, can you just, like, just imagine, like, it's going, like, 15 feet, 25 feet, 40 feet. Like, you're just going, imagine yourself in the ocean, you're playing around, you hit a slope. Imagine where that's taking you.
Down.
That's scary. Yeah, down.
Down, yeah.
That's scary. What's below you?
Well, that's the thing about drop-offs. Like, in the ocean, playing around, you just don't know. You don't know where it's coming. Especially in dirty water. I grew up going to Dewey Beach. Like, we didn't go to Florida or anything like that with clear water. We went to Dewey Beach, which is getting more and more popular these days. But
what?
Dewey Beach in Delaware. It's because one of the podcasts I listen to, shout out to Girls Gotta Eat, that's where Ashley's from, and they go to Dewey Beach. But yeah, that's where we grew up going. And bitch, you can't see shit in that water. It is so freaking dirty. Like, the one year, actually, there were, like, sand sharks that were up on the shore and stuff, so you had to get out of the water. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in it, but I
like
was.
Clear water that you can see.
Well, exactly. That's the thing, because you know.
I don't fuck
around. Yeah.
You can just shuffle your feet and see a stingray and stuff, but, yeah, that's definitely the scariest part. You don't know what's coming next.
Yeah. No, like, yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, so another thing I found on NationalGeographic.com is a quote. So all of you people that are scared of sharks out there, this is for you. The chances of you being eaten alive by a shark are highly unlikely. You're more likely to die by a dog attack, lightning strike, or a car crash. Cancer and heart disease are also way more likely to kill you.
So you should be more afraid of walking out of your house every day than going
and getting
to
attacked
the
by a dog.
See, I heard, like, this could be totally inaccurate, but I heard that you're more likely to get killed by a falling vending machine than get eaten by a
shark.
Has
that happened?
I don't know. That's should something, we look that that's up? One of those urban legends. By the way, I totally butchered Chulu. It's
Clue.
It's that's Lovecraft. I don't know. When I read things, I mispronounce things in my head, but that's just how I choose to pronounce them. That's my bad.
Clue, whatever it is. Shout out to you, Lovecraft.
But are we saying, like, full-on eaten by a shark, or just, like, a little snip-snip here or there?
Death by shark versus death by vending machine. That's what I want to know.
I think
people get bitten by sharks all the time, I feel like, but you just don't die. You could lose a limb, you know, get some amputation happening, but not death.
Would it be instant with a vending machine? Okay, so here's a scenario. Would you rather get crushed by a vending machine or get eaten by a shark alive? If you're listening, let us know. But what do you guys think? I don't know. I'd probably pick vending machine. I would rather die with Cheetos.
That's true. I don't know, just because getting eaten by a shark, who would know?
I found a statistic.
You wouldn't be found.
But that's true. There are people that are probably killed that people aren't found, you know?
Yeah, they think they're just missing
Persons.
But according to Google, It appears that, indeed, vending machines kill 4 to 6 times more people in the United States than sharks do each year. Between 2 and 4 people die each year due to vending machine accidents compared to less than 1 being killed by a shark.
What secure these vending machines.
Are these people
who
doing
do
with
an
the vending
call
machines?
To secure
shaking
these
them.
Vending
you're
machines.
Like, oh, my God, it ate my quarter. So then you shake them and it kills
you.
You lean it
to get your Cheetos.
Yeah, people are, is their life
true.
Really worth a quarter?
Is it worth
dollar?
Your life? Maybe. What kind
hungry.
Of Sun Chips are we talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, the Cool Ranch Doritos or the regular? Because I don't know. Anyway, we're about to
I'd
get into something.
I'd risk it for one of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really
how hungry are you?
Yeah, I would shake it.
You quite literally need to risk it to get the biscuit.
Risk it
in
for
that
the biscuit.
One.
You literally, but Jenna with the jokes. Okay, so yeah, so basically, I guess moral of the story. You should appreciate sharks from a distance. So sharks are important to the food chains. Sharks keep the ecosystems in line. This is also from National Geographic, from the section on these sharks once ruled the seas. Now they're nearly gone. That's fucking sad. Studies have shown that shark populations can have an effect on seagrass composition and the presence of other animals in a habitat. Sharks are also being studied for cancer treatments and limb regeneration. So,
wow.
Jokes on y'all.
They can eat your limb and then regrow it.
Yeah, literally. So, like, be nice to sharks, everybody. So we'll kind of go lastly into our game. What would your strategy be? So basically this game is going to be, if you were in Jaws, say you had to put yourself in this specific situation. You are chief
Brody.
Of police. Yes, thank you. I was like, what's his fucking name? Martin Brody. What is your strategy? You have Amity Island to protect. You can't avoid the water. Megan, what is your strategy?
Oh, girl, way to put me on the spot.
Or if anybody
else. I would avoid all of it. I'd be like, oh my God, this is shark. Let's not go in the water. But
I quit.
I have to. I don't know. I feel like sticks of dynamite. Chief Brody had a handgun. Handguns don't do diddly squat in any horror movie. He had about as accuracy as a stormtrooper with that thing. He missed every time except for the, you know, climax of the movie. But I feel like sticks of dynamite would probably be beneficial, more beneficial than a handgun. I don't know. If I can't avoid it altogether, I would say blow that shit up.
Which eventually,
that's
spoiler alert, later, shut that propane tank down. Jenna, what's your strategy?
Can you repeat the question?
Jenna would be Disney
Jenna's
princess.
Too drunk.
She would be one with the sharks petting its underbelly. Shark
Jenna, you know what? That is my strategy.
Tickling
you
its underbelly.
Get that snout, tickle its snout, and then with the opposite hand, you just
she's
caress
fingering
the underbelly. It is seriously.
She's jerking off.
Sing it. No, okay. Speaking of that,
whoa.
If you want to bring it up, you can see it in Jaws as well with the real life footage from, what did you say, the Australian Great White?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know.
Sharks don't have penises. Okay, they have penises, but they have 2 of them, and what did they call it?
What?
Claspers! They call them claspers. How fucked is that? Yeah, because they just clasp onto the female. There's, like, 2 little lines, 2 little strands, and they just clasp.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, shark penis.
So Jenna's gonna jerk off the shark is basically the her strategy.
No, I'm rubbing its belly.
Which is where its claspers are.
Oh, what do you guys think? Are females or males more prone to not attacking?
Aggression?
That's probably, like, not politically correct these days to say attack. Shark attack.
I would say females.
Shark aggression.
I would say females.
I would say too, because they're bad bitches. They know what they want.
Do we know statistically?
No.
You can look it up.
No.
If you guys keep talking.
Yeah. I would say females too. I agree with that.
I mean, if they're defending their young or trying to provide food for their young, isn't that the case? Like, isn't that like mosquitoes?
For bears too.
Mosquitoes.
Females. It's like they're just more aggressive. Like, women gotta do what women gotta do for their family, for their young.
Who said it? Tina Fey, I think. Bitches get stuff done, you know?
Okay, so according to, I don't know if this is how accurate this is, but www.channel4.com, this is news, Dr. Domir added male sharks, oh wait, this is not what I'm looking for. This is about whether they bite male or female humans.
Do you think that they would be more... Because it's scent, I'm guessing, right?
Mm-hmm. Are male or female sharks more aggressive? Oh, you said it. Male sharks bite the head, flank, or pectoral fin of female. What? That's a lie.
I don't know.
It says sharks pretty much only bite men. That has nothing to do with our question, but it's like, booyah, I won't get bit by a shark, bitches.
So basically...
YOLO, I'm gonna go swim everywhere.
Yeah, as long as you're not a male, there you go. Go swim in the ocean. Have a good time. So on the first page of Google, I did not do that much research, but I could not find whether male or female sharks are more aggressive. But it seems like in the animal kingdom, females are more aggressive. Like, I mean, you look at, like, spiders. Like,
yeah.
Is it grasshoppers or... What are the... Praying mantis, thank you. Yeah. Fucking praying mantis.
They eat their male... When they're mating, they eat the male's heads, right? Or something
like
that?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, so I guess, I don't know what my strategy would be. After listening to Jenna's talk about rubbing its underbelly, maybe I would try to just, like... Yeah, caress the shark. Maybe I would try to punch it in its eye.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just jump into its mouth and just
accept
end it. Yeah, just be like, you know what, this shark...
Challenge accepted.
Yeah.
That seems like a great way to go.
Yeah, just
eat me, please.
Pencil dive into the shark's esophagus. I don't know. Like, maybe it won't hurt that bad. Just slowly digest,
punch it from the inside.
Yeah, that would be less painful. I don't know. Ask Moby Dick. Okay, so, anyway, I guess, like, Peter Benchley, he was a conservationist, and his whole point of writing this novel was kind of to, well, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but basically what I got from his introduction was that he wanted to educate us on, basically what would happen if an enormous, monstrous shark would attack a little island like Amity Island, which is, of course, fictional. So what would happen if that actually happened? But typically that doesn't happen, so it's important to know that Jaws is just a movie and that sharks are not actually killing machines. Humans aren't even really on their menu. They're typically just mistaken for seals or other prey, and according to National Geographic about great whites, they're most of the time spit right back out. So,
no way. The humans are.
Yeah. So maybe
you just bleed out.
You can get your leg back. Yeah, just get eaten and then...
You could just go back down
and get your leg.
Eventually, right?
Or have a friend?
Yeah, I don't know how long the water would take to kind of decay a bit. I don't see why that's not an option. Yeah. The salt.
I don't know. I feel like I listen to a lot of true crime, and when you're in the water, your skin starts to fall off. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, what? Like your decayed skin?
Yeah, so it's just fall. I forget what it's called. Like, it's very like...
Are we talking river water?
I don't know. I mean, I guess...
Ocean water.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know specifically, but I know, like, for sure, probably, like, river water... it's called, like, skin peeling, or it's something very, like, specific, like, very obvious. Like, you're like, oh, that's what it's called. But yeah, so, I don't know. I don't know if your limb would...
We should look this up. Next time, we'll have...
Yeah, next time!
Reattaching limbs from shark attacks.
A little motivation for you guys to stay tuned for the next episode.
Okay, I do have something to say, though.
Yeah.
So, surfers... Sometimes they're surfing. I watch a lot of surfing videos, and there's a shark right there in the wave next to them.
Yeah, it's scary.
Who's the one? Hamilton.
Bethany Hamilton. Yeah.
Oh, the one that she had the movie?
She's a bad bitch.
She's such a badass.
Shout out Bethany Hamilton. Go girl.
She was pregnant with one arm surfing after she got an arm bitten off. Like, she's awesome. Like,
and, yeah. Absolutely.
Powerful bad bitch female.
Yeah.
Goals. I mean, I don't want my arm bitten off, but...
Yeah, no, she's... Definition of bad bitch. Yeah. So if you feel very passionate about sharks yourself, which you should, you nerds, and if you want to take action yourself, you can visit oceanconservatory.org and take action to join the movement to protect our oceans. I actually signed a petition that gets sent to your congressman, your representative. So if you are living in Ohio, it'll get sent to Representative Tim Ryan. So I can post a link on our website, our social media pages. Actually, our website is TBA, so just social media pages. Anything else you guys want to say about the movie?
Wait, Bree, I didn't know you were doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I love that. That's
Let's
so
save
fun.
The animals, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I'm doing it by myself, you nerds.
And they say we couldn't make a difference.
And yeah, they say we couldn't do it, people. We're doing it. You're welcome.
Should we rate the movie?
Out of 10?
Yeah.
What's 1 and what's 10?
Like 10's like the best.
Are we talking
what is
fear
the comparison?
All around? What are we ranking it on?
Should we rate it on scariness or enjoyability factor?
Enjoyability.
Okay. Yeah, we'll rate this right now on enjoyability factor, and then we'll kind of go back the next episodes on more specific rating, like, parameters.
This was, because this was a good, like, way to kind of dip myself in to what's to come.
Because, no pun intended, dip your foot in the water on this one.
Yeah, for real.
So Jenna obviously hates horror movies, so we did Jaws because it was a super easy horror movie to watch for the very first one. So
I'm going to rate it 6.5 out of 10. Great movie. I don't know. Like, there's nothing against it, Stevie. I thought it was really great.
And but Peter Benchley.
Also, if I were to be in 1975 watching the movie, I'd probably be scared shitless.
For
but
sure.
In today's day and age, I was chilling. I liked it.
I think because we know more about sharks, I'm not going to give all the credit to Peter Benchley, but, like, there was, in his introduction, he mentions, kind of to paraphrase, he mentioned that there was kind of a spike in marine biology in colleges because people were so interested in this idea of sharks in his novel that they were like, holy shit, let's study these fucking sharks. So I just think that's so cool. So maybe there was more of knowing about sharks.
Awareness.
Awareness. Thank you. Yeah. Knowing. Awareness about sharks. I love this movie. It is a classic. It is timeless. I mean, kind of. Depends on if you're in 2020 or not. I don't know. A 9 out of 10, I think, because it is such... Yeah, I know. Because it is such a slow reveal, and you get that artistic value. You don't have the distractions of the CGI. Like if you watch any other shark movie today, you watch... Okay, I'm going to shout out 47 Meters Down. Sorry, Mandy Moore. But, like, that movie is shit. And the CGI is shit. And you have this animatronic shark. It is so much better than the CGI.
What was the one where they were, like, in a freshwater island? I feel like Sarah Paxton was in it. And this guy was, like, bringing sharks and, like, bringing them to be freshwater sharks and, like, kill a bunch of teenagers. Did you ever watch that movie?
Like, Shark Night?
That may have been what it was.
Is it like 3D? Is it a 3D fucking episode?
I don't know.
Damn it, I hate 3D movies. It's all stupid. Oh my gosh. Yeah, Shark Night, I think.
Something like that. And it made me freaked out that, like, people were going to bring sharks to, like, Portage Lakes. Like, they're going to get me these freshwater sharks.
Yeah, it's like the rednecks brought, like, the sharks to the lake.
Yeah!
They're like, we're going to get these damn sharks. Yeah, yeah, that's Shark Night. Unfortunately, I know that. I'm a sucker for shark movies.
I've seen a lot of scary movies,
yeah.
But then I don't know what they're called. I'm like, I feel like I have this vague feeling that I saw.
Yeah, it's like this vague,
that.
Like, memory, deja vu. Okay, Megan, what do you rate it?
Similar to Jenna. Like, so this is my first time seeing it, and I'm not typically fond of old special effects, but I also don't like overly done CGI movies. So I really enjoyed, the animatronic shark. I love John Williams. He's probably like my one of my favorite composers. Top
100%.
Five, at least top three maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it amazing. It was a little too slow burning for me. I wasn't scared, but again, I'm desensitized to horror films, so I'm not scared by a lot of things. I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. I thought, was it Hooper?
Hooper.
Yeah, Hooper.
The hipster rapist.
I liked him. I liked these special effects. I liked John Williams, but I didn't like Quint. I couldn't understand a damn word that man said.
Yeah, he's like,
and it was a little slow burning.
Chris Pratt, yeah.
Yeah. Old man Chris Pratt. Look it up. You'll see the similarities. Yeah. But, yeah, overall, I thought it was a decently well-done film. I'm glad I watched it. It was a long time coming. I should have watched it 10, 15 years ago. But here I am. And it was good. We'll see where we go from here.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess the next movie we are going to be watching is The Turning.
I haven't seen this one yet.
I don't know what it is.
It is actually adapted from the short story, The Turn of the Screw by Henry James. And Henry James is freaking phenomenal. So I'm super excited about the short story.
This is Finn Wolf in it. That's his name, right?
Yes, Finn
Wolf.
Oh my
gosh, I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah, he makes the movie.
He's like, so cute. He's such a good actor.
Yeah, he is. I won't give too much away because I've seen the movie, but Jenna and Megan haven't, but I've read the story. So we'll be reviewing that next week. New episodes are released every Friday. We do have a website coming. I'm sure it'll probably be up by the time this episode is released. So hopefully. We'll post it. Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. But we'll post it on our social media pages. And check out our social media pages on Instagram. It is going to be at Screams and Queens Pod. And then on Twitter, it's going to be at Screams Podcast. So check us out on Instagram and Twitter. You can also support the podcast by becoming a patron on Patreon, where you'll get some special stuff where we will release later. Shout out to us on social media. We'll answer any questions you have. And this is Screams and Queens. Thank you for listening.
Bye, guys.
Bye.